This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and we want you guys to help us keep the conversation going. You can do that by supporting the show, share it online with your friends and your family, leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from, absolutely nothing less than 5 stars, because why would you do that?
Ask yourself why.
Why would anybody leave a star? Like, if it's not 1 star or 5 star, why leave a review?
I don't know.
I want someone to write in and say, I'm the guy that leaves 4 to 3 star reviews. Like, why?
I don't know.
Don't do it. Especially don't do it here. I have zero tolerance for
and
that.
We need to move on after this. But you know what I've never seen? I've never seen a 2-star review. I've seen 3. I've seen 4. I've seen 1 and 5.
Who would do
I've
it?
Never seen a 2-star review.
This is so pointless. It's so pointless. Just don't review. Yeah. You didn't like it.
Our verse of the day today is coming from Acts chapter 5, verse 31. Him, that's Jesus, God has highly exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.
So for everybody out there saying that there's no more place for Israel, Israel's done, Israel's had their moment, and they blew it. This verse is so against that. This is New Testament. This is Paul. Well, this is Luke, really, I should say, writing this. But still, to give repentance to Israel, that's why he's been exalted.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus has been made the right hand, is to give repentance to Israel. There's still a chance and there's still a plan. And God is going to fulfill that plan in his perfect timing.
That's right. God has a plan for everyone. I mean,
that's
we
right.
talk about the will of God. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life, John's life, mm-hmm. Dr. Shah's life, the livelihood of the Clearview Today Show, but God also has a plan, a specific plan for ethnic Israel.
That's
because
right.
they are his chosen people. Mm-hmm. And if you have a problem with that, then you have a problem with God's word.
That's right.
It's very clear throughout scripture that God has a plan for the people of Israel. And if we stand against that, we are standing against the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I'm comfortable doing.
No, absolutely not. And God's word is a very integral part of our lives. And we want to equip our listeners to be able to listen to it, read it, have it in their lives every single day. And the best way for you to do that, seriously, is to download the Date the Word app. Shout out to Dr. Dwayne Carson for creating this app. This is a guy we met at NRB. We've been talking about it on every single show because they're a partial sponsor, but we do want to just highlight the importance of having God's word in your life every single day.
Yep.
And every day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of making it more memorable for you. So hop on the iPhone store. What is the iPhone store? The iTunes store. You know where to go to get apps. Go ahead and get it. If you're one of those weird Google Play users, you can get it too, I guess. But I don't know. There's not a lot of hope for you beyond that. Maybe God's word can change your heart.
There you go.
So we had a person write in, and they wanted that we have a bunch of people write in. This was for lightning round questions, but I thought it could be a fun segment to do at the top of the show.
Sure.
This is from Frank R. in South
Frank
Carolina.
R.
Yeah. What do you think the R stands for?
Oh, Frank R. I think the R stands for Rowdy.
Frank Rowdy wants to know, what's the worst trouble you ever got in at school? I mean, I can tell.
Getting in a lot of trouble at school. I did. There was one time that I got called to the principal's office for something I did not do. And I was written up by a teacher I've never met in a hallway that I did not ever travel down. So I told.
How big was your school?
My graduating class was like 600 people.
Okay.
So
that's a big school.
I told the principal and I said, hey, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I don't know this teacher and I've never been in this hallway. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that this is for the other Ryan Hill?
So you knew the other Ryan
Hill? Oh, yeah. We knew each other. We were friends.
Okay.
And he looked at me and he was like, just like I had sprouted three heads. He was like, the other Ryan Hill? Like, yes, sir. There's two of us. And so he looked at his records. He was like, I'm so sorry. You can go back to class. But I didn't really get in much trouble.
I got in trouble. Yeah, I got in trouble for a few things. One of them was actually pretty serious. I don't know if I should talk about it on the radio, but it was a huge misunderstanding, but it was something that I did technically do. I'm trying to think of like a fun example. One of the things that I got in trouble for, I had a art teacher in senior year. You know, nobody's working. Nobody's doing no work. You goofing off. Your core classes are done. It's pretty much a year full of electives.
Right.
If you even end up going. I skipped school a lot. I shouldn't have did that, but I did. So when I was there, I was hanging out in the art class. Now, I was hanging out in art class even when I did not have art class. You know, I was just there. I was hanging out because the teacher was super cool. He was a chill dude. Shout out to Mr. Garrison. So I'm in art class, right?
I had a Mr. Garrison.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He didn't teach art, though.
Yeah, Mr. Garrison taught art. So he had these things where you have a 6 weeks project and that's it. So you don't just paint and do stuff. You can pretty much do whatever you want, but at the end of the 6 weeks, you got to turn that project.
Sure.
So that was why it was such a chill class. So a lot of them had these sculptures. You could sculpt stuff out of like clay. And one of them was like a cat and it was really beautiful. And I don't know why 17, 18 year old guys think this way, but all I wanted was to smash that cat on the concrete. And I asked Premier, I was like, can I smash this after it's graded? He was like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. Once it's graded, I don't care. So then the time for 6 week projects came.
Sure.
And he was like, I turned mine in. I did like a comic or something. And I remember this. I was really embarrassed after that. This is probably did I do that? I took it and I was like, hey, 6 weeks projects is over, right? He was like, yeah, everybody's all good. I took it outside and I smashed that cat all over the concrete. And he came out. He was like, no, not that one. I was like, why? He was like, that was Brad's. He's out sick. I didn't grade it. I was like, why didn't you grade it? He was like, he's out sick. He has to turn it in. I can't just take it and grade it for him. He has to present it.
Oh, no.
So I smashed it all to pieces.
Sorry, Brad.
I was like, Brad, forget that. I had to go apologize to Brad. I think he just got 100. I think Garrison was like, I'm just going to give him 100.
You got to
like,
give him 100 at that
like,
point.
Because I guess I didn't get in trouble, but I did get scolded.
Yeah. Write in and let us know what your most trouble was that you ever got in at school. Fess up. It's time to be honest.
That's right.
252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
Hashtag Clearview Today. The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian Talk Radio.
And listen, we know we are not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com. Or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again with Clearview Today. We're here once again with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's the host of Clearview Today.
There you go.
He's also a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show, Possible Troublemaker? I don't know. Dr. Shah, what's the... we had Frank R. What was it? Frank Rowdy?
Rowdy.
Frank Rowdy himself from South Carolina wrote in and wanted to know, what's the most trouble we ever got into at school? Ryan's was a false alarm. I accidentally shattered some kid's art project. Dr. Shah, the people want to know, what's the most trouble you ever got into at school? You were head boy, right?
I didn't get in trouble.
Yeah, you didn't get in much trouble. You couldn't afford to. Were you ever a prefect? Did y'all have prefects?
Yes.
Okay.
We did.
And then you became head
prefects
boy.
Prefects became the head of the houses, and mm-hmm. the head of the houses, one of them would become assistant head boy, mm-hmm. and then one would become the head boy. Then an assistant head girl, another one would become head girl. And our school population was like 2,000 some students.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty big school. Decent sized school, I would say.
But you're in, this is in India. In the 1980s?
Yes.
At a Catholic school?
Yes.
Getting in trouble is not really an option because over there, the consequences of getting in trouble are pretty...
Yeah, it is.
So one of the things you always see in Catholic schools, at least in movies and TV shows, is the nuns would like wrap your wrist with ruler.
That was real? That happened.
For real?
Yeah, but the older you got, it was not the nuns doing it as much as... the teachers, yeah.
Okay.
Teachers
so the nuns weren't teaching the classes?
Some were.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, you needed, like, science and mathematics. Uh-huh. I mean, the nuns dedicated their life to ministry.
Fair enough.
Now, there were nuns who were, like, we had a French nun, and she would teach French, and she would get irritated with us Indian students. they wouldn't listen to her.
So she wasn't an Indian woman who taught French.
No, she was French.
She was French. Okay.
She was French.
Okay.
And she, Sister Faith.
Sister Faith.
Sister
Faith. Would Sister Faith wrap you on the wrist with a ruler?
No, she was, I don't know. She just got aggravated. Like one time, the father so-and-so was coming. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted us to do a play in his honor.
Okay.
And so me and this other guy, we were chosen for like this two-man act. Mm-hmm. And we were, I mean, I didn't get it. You know, I didn't understand, like, what is the punchline? How does this work? So we're goofing off. And so a few weeks went by and we tried and, you know, it was just like not really feeling it. I mean,
right.
It's just like, I don't know what she was trying to get us to do.
Yeah.
It's like a French thing, I guess.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, my friend asked her, is like, whatever happened to Father so-and-so? We were going to do this play. You idiot. He already left. He came and left. Well, we didn't do it. He goes, you were goofing off the whole time, so I gave up.
Like, okay. Oh, man.
So he already came, and y'all just didn't even do the play.
No, because it was just...
Wow.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we mentioned up top before the break was the infamous sugar cane. And I feel like I know we've told this on the show before, but for anybody new and has never heard the sugarcane story,
it's a great story.
Do you want to just kind of give us the rundown of the highlights of
the highlight reel?
The one time Dr. Shah skipped school that I know of.
It was not really skipping school. It was after school.
Oh, it was after school. Okay. My bad.
It was after school.
My bad.
So some of the guys said, you know, they're going to go down this highway. In fact, I went on that highway when I went to visit my mom. Mm-hmm. And they were going to go to this field and get sugarcane and eat it. And I was like, you just go to the field and get sugarcane and eat it. Mm-hmm. And somebody else's field. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, but it's all cool. It's all great. And so we went. And we were on motorcycles, and we went. And sure enough, the guy, the farmer came out on his tractor. It was like a scene from Cars. And he came, and we took off. Now, here's the problem. We're wearing white and gray.
School uniforms.
Well. It was a school uniform. White shirt, gray pants.
That's going to get really dirty.
So they told you that the farmer was all cool with it, that everything was all
good. They didn't say anything about the farmer.
They just said it's all good.
Like
it's all fine. Yeah, we just get it over there. Didn't realize that he would come out and recognize us and then come to the school the next day and tell...
He was hot.
He was upset.
Yeah.
So now the big story is who? And I am the head boy, so I get called in the office.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, my word.
Uh-huh.
So the guys told me, said, hey, you're cool. We'll
We'll take the fall.
Yeah, you don't need to. My friends were good in that sense.
So you told who it was?
No, I didn't say a word. I was like, I don't know.
So tell them about the assembly that day.
Oh, the assembly was. I mean, they got like what caned.
So.
In the assembly?
This is something I didn't know, and I don't know if American schools operated like this, but apparently you would have, to discipline students, you would have a big assembly. Was the purpose of the assembly to show the kids the discipline, or was it like, here's the assembly, and then, by the way, we're going to go ahead and get the discipline out? Or was it like, everybody come gather, this is what we're doing at the assembly?
Yeah, well, sort of like that. Yeah.
So your friends march out on stage.
Yeah, it was, I was like, oh my, because it said to me, you really were not in it. You went along with us. Right. We were going to do this. You shouldn't be caught for this. And you're the head boy.
So they got caned on stage.
That's good friends.
They were good friends.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was bad just watching them, because you have few who'll giggle or whatever, but these are like the bad boys of school.
Right. You don't want to
Giggle. So, and there were a couple who giggled, and I was like, hey, cut it out.
I don't want these guys coming after you. More importantly, I don't want them coming after me.
Yeah. So,
cool.
Anyways, that's how life happens.
There you go, man.
Stories.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's how it was.
I love it.
That's how it was.
Man, those are some good friends.
Yeah, those are good friends.
I mean, hey, out for you.
That's politics, man. That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Right. That's the system. You
that's
know?
Right.
That's the system. That's
politics. Right. And, I love
you
know, that.
You don't have to. You don't have to always like it, but sometimes it helps.
That's right. Yeah. Well, speaking of politics, on today's episode, today marks a very important day in our nation's history. Today is the day that the 17th Amendment of the United States Constitution was ratified, signed into law, made official?
Yes. It was when it was made official.
Okay.
Yeah. And we wanted to talk about it because this is an amendment that a lot of people don't know about. This one don't get the airtime that the other ones do.
Right. Yeah, you think like Bill of Rights.
First Amendment, we all good. Second Amendment, we like that. Fifth Amendment, we definitely like that. 21st, 19th, you know, these are the big popular ones. 17th Amendment. A lot of people don't even know what the 17th. They know there is one.
Yeah.
Because there's ones after that.
Right.
They don't even know what the 17th Amendment actually is.
Right.
So it goes back to May the 31st, 1913, where Americans were given their vote or the ability to vote on their senators through this 17th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, prior to this, the senators were elected by the individual state legislative bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while, this was being opposed, or they were saying, you know, we need to change this. All this was based on the Constitutional Convention, because that's how it was always done.
Mm-hmm.
But then the process was great until the 1850s, when a number of states, you know, causing trouble in selecting senators, and you know, once you hijack that body, then you know you're going to pick whoever you want. So in the 1870s on, this is after the Civil War, there were a lot of petitions were made to the House of Representatives, calling for the senators to be elected directly.
Right,
let the people pick their senators, and so this happened and went on, and then finally it was 1913, as I mentioned, is when it was approved. The amendment was ratified,
mm-hmm.
and when the state of Connecticut ratified it or finally gave their approval,
right,
this was ratified. The closer the senators are to the people who elected them,
mm-hmm.
the better we can hold them responsible.
Right.
The further they get, or they become the Washington D.C. Inhabitants,
mm-hmm.
then they don't care about who sent them there.
Because they're removed.
Mm-hmm. away from those people who will say, okay, you didn't do it our way. Well, we're going to vote you out.
Yeah.
But if you don't even see those people and they don't even elect you and you're representing them on that level,
mm-hmm.
Then how do you hold them accountable?
That's true.
They do whatever they want to do. And that's initially it worked, like I said, up until the 1850s, but then after that point, people began to realize in different states, like the Populist Party had already, you know, tried to say, we need to do something about this. And then Wisconsin and Nebraska, Oregon, and of course, different ones followed suit.
Right.
And then Connecticut was the last one to give that approval. And this was finally made into part of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is a discussion that we should have for Christians, because I feel like Christians, kind of like we already said this, but Christians get into this point where it's like, okay, I only care about the church and the body of Christ, and I'm not really into politics at all.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, it shouldn't be that way. And so it's like, okay, cool. I'll vote for the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, but what about all your other elected officials? It's like, I just don't have time to care about that kind of stuff. But then when changes start happening at the local level and things get out of your control, you do start caring.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you demonstrate that you do care.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. And it's a thing too where you don't even, a lot of times they don't, you don't even realize that these elections are happening.
Yeah. Right.
You know, these local elections where you're voting for senators and governors and stuff like that, it's not even being talked about. It's not on Facebook. It's not on social media. It's almost like someone is trying to keep it, you know, downplayed and hidden.
Well, that's why I appreciate what you say, Dr. Shaw, is that go out and vote your convictions, vote biblical values. Mm-hmm. I think of that video of Gavin that when he was really
vote
little.
Vote biblical values.
Yeah, just that little baby talk. But I mean, that's important for us to understand. That's why we need to allow our faith to impact and affect the political sphere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if we want people to uphold our values, we've got to be the ones to go vote for them.
Right.
If we don't vote, we can't expect the officials that are in there to uphold the values that we never voted into place.
This is one of the quote unquote boring esoteric amendments that we don't talk about, but it impacts our daily lives way more than we realize.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it really brings you up close and personal to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we often talk about how the Constitution is an amazing volume, I guess, of principles by which this nation operates or the political system operates.
Right.
What is it? Why is it so important? We're saying today that these things don't matter. These were designed by some old white men back in the 18th century. Mm-hmm. They don't really apply today. To the contrary, when you really study, when I say really study, our church did a study of the Constitution.
That's right.
Which is done by Rick Green and David Barton, wall builders, if you haven't heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
We did that study right here with one of our own church members sort of facilitating that study. We really were educated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've read a lot on American history, politics, but it was an education for me to sit there and listen and know how wonderful is the political system we have.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
The 100%. Checks and balances we have, the Constitution. We are a democratically elected republic,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is Constitution based, and the Constitution is relevant. Yes, it may need amendments,
mm-hmm.
but there is a process that you have to follow.
That's right.
And there is a great book out there by Mark Levine called the. Freedom, I believe it's called the Liberty Amendments, mm-hmm. Restoring the American Republic. And he proposes about 11 amendments to the Constitution.
Wow, 11 additional amendments.
Yes.
Wow.
Amendments like, can I tell you some of those?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is coming out of his book. Like, impose congressional term limits.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Wow. Means we need to get to a place where, you know, these people are not career politicians,
mm-hmm.
they have to some point in time say, okay, I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm going home.
That's a good point.
Then there is repealing the 17th Amendment, returning the election of senators to state legislatures.
Mm.
What we're talking about today,
mm-hmm.
okay, he is suggesting it needs to return to the state legislature. And he has a reason for that,
mm-hmm.
why this is going to safeguard things. So yes, we talk about we elect them. But then there are other checks and balances that are also important.
Right.
And he says this needs to be reversed.
Wow.
There's also imposed term limits for Supreme Court justices and restrict judicial review.
That's big. That's a big change. Because, uh-huh. I mean, you think that's what you think when you think Supreme Court justice, they're there for life.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's kind of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also require a balanced budget and limit federal spending and taxation, which is going to be a big one.
How do you balance that budget? I don't even know how you start at this point with that.
When what we hear is like, to keep the lights open, we need to go ahead and pass this, Mr. President.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like so many $1 trillion in debt. And I'm like, what? At this point, are we just making up numbers?
Well,
like,
well, then at that point, too, they go ahead and spend it. And they're like, well, what do you know? We're even more in debt.
Yeah.
This is the president's fault. He's the one that let us do it. We asked. He said yes. He should have never told us yes.
Right.
There's also define a deadline to file taxes one day before the next federal election. Subject federal departments and bureaucratic regulations to periodic reauthorization and review.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that'd be a tough one to for people, those federal departments to get behind, create a more specific definition of the Commerce Clause, limit eminent domain powers, allow states to more easily amend the Constitution by bypassing Congress. Sometimes a lot of things get, how do I say this, stagnated in Congress.
Oh, yeah, they'll just take a recess and deal with it in a couple of years when they come back.
Which will never happen.
Yeah.
And then create a process where two-thirds of the states can nullify federal laws. Create a process, I'm sorry, last one is require photo ID to vote and limit early voting. I think about it, in our own state of North Carolina, we had to show a photo ID.
Yeah, that's right.
Which was very interesting.
That was new. That was new this year, wasn't it? I remember,
do you have a photo ID? I was like, oh, yeah, sure.
Yes, I do. I would be happy to show it to you.
So exactly. That has not been a thing in the past, and I wasn't expecting it to be a thing this year. And I live maybe 3 minutes from our voting station.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And I'm right there. And I didn't have it. So I had to go home and get it.
Yeah.
But because it has never been a thing, I'm all for it. But no one, I mean, at least maybe they did. I didn't see it. But no one, there was no sign that said, hey, ID required this year. So I just walked up in there in like my workout pants. I'd just come from the gym. And I was like, I'll go home and get it. Yeah. They were like, yeah, you got to go home and get it.
So going back to this Constitutional Live study that we did, on Section 10, I really recommend that if your church needs to learn and grow and understand how our nation works, do this study. It's really, really good. Article 5 is the proper way to amend the Constitution.
Right.
And our democracy or our republic has been set up in such a way is that democracy runs on passion, says Rick Green. A republic runs on reason.
Good point.
That's why we're a republic, not democracy.
That's right.
Democracy can get a bunch of people to just show up and do whatever they want. That's passion.
Yeah.
Most of the world runs on passion.
That's just the will of the majority.
Yeah. Go to the Middle East. That's passion. I mean, people get fired up, ready to know. The next thing you know, they're ready to charge the world and destroy everything.
Yeah.
And that's why you have such autocrats, or you have such dictators in this part of the world, because that's for them to say, I know you're going to jail,
right,
or you'll never be heard from again.
Right.
That's how they curb those passions. But there's another way to do that, which is reason.
Right.
And our Constitution is set up in such a way that to amend something, it's a slow process.
Yeah.
Because when it slows down, passion
dies,
subsides,
down.
Yeah.
And reason kicks in.
Yeah. You, the only thing you can deal with is the facts and whether this is actually a good idea, whether this is actually functional.
Yeah, start thinking logically and stop thinking emotionally.
That's true. Yeah.
Now, there are two ways to amend the Constitution. One is known as the congressional proposal. Okay, congressional proposal says when two-thirds of both the House and Senate adopt proposed amendments, they are sent to the states for ratification, and three-fourths of the states must, which is 38 states, must ratify for the amendment to become part of the Constitution. That's a congressional proposal. Second is the state proposal. According to this one, when two-thirds, which would be about 34 some states, of the states apply, the Congress must call a convention of the states for proposing amendments. Any amendments proposed at the convention must be ratified by three-fourths, again, 38 states, of the states before the amendment would become part of the Constitution. Those are two different ways that amendments can be made, congressional and state proposals. All right, before you can change
the amendment.
So the 17th Amendment, as Mark Levine says, maybe needs to go back to the state legislators. And he has his reasons for that. That's a very important one.
Yeah.
Some of the systems of checks and balances in Indian politics are coming from that. Unfortunately, because it does not have a Judeo-Christian foundation, we have our problems in America. Don't misunderstand me. We have our problems. But the lack of integrity that is in India right now, I mean, it is horrendous. I hate to say it. I mean, in America, I'm seeing that now.
Yeah. Wow.
The further we get away from those values, the Judeo-Christian values, the lack of integrity is really, really horrible. I mean, elections are being stolen as we speak.
Yeah. Blatantly and out in the open.
Yes.
But the Constitution, the system of checks and balances is there in India because of the British influence.
But it's not built on a Judeo-Christian value system.
Hence, it it's very wobbly.
Yeah.
That you have a system, but you just don't follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in America, too, we have a system where we're not always following it, mm-hmm. but it is there. That is the foundation. When you have a foreign foundation, but you yourself don't really hold to it like you should,
mm-hmm.
it's you use it when you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in your favor, and you chunk it when you don't.
Yeah.
Our founders really thought through mm-hmm. everything so well
yeah.
that they gave us a system that is so beautiful,
mm-hmm.
so strong, so long-lasting. I mean, they gave us a system by which we can fix the system.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right? We have a constitution, and don't be afraid to use the constitution to fix the constitution.
That's right. That's right.
But if you go out any other way and just say, just throw this away and let's start. No.
Yeah, you can't just start over. What are you building
on? What are you building on? Right. Well, we know better. What is better? Yeah. Karl Marx, Das Kapital? What is better? Communist Manifesto?
Yeah.
What is better?
Yeah.
You don't have anything.
That's true.
Yeah. Today was helpful for you. Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. John, what encouragement you want to leave with our listeners with this weekend?
As always, just make sure you're in church. Make sure you're worshiping God this weekend. For all the pastors, for all the ministry leaders, worship leaders, kids leaders, all the volunteers, we are praying for you. Have a successful service on this coming Sunday, and we'll see you right here on Monday morning.
That's right. Make sure you guys tune back in. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.